T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The front desk, and I get told that the morning show went on the air and said the afternoon guys are going to turn what Hodges did last night into a quarterback controversy. You're damn right I am. That's right. I am going to turn it into one. You know why?
It got to be divisive.
Here's why I'm going to say that. This is a funny concept. I don't know if, you know, this is kind of maybe me going out on a limb here, being bold, reinventing the wheel, coming up with maybe a hot take. I'm into something called winning. I don't know if you heard of that concept before. I'm into guys who win games. I'm big into that. Players who win.
I'm wearing
win.
A Browns hoodie, so I'm not very familiar with it this year.
Hodges won. He is 1-0 as a starting quarterback. The other guy is in his second year, and unlike Ben Roethlisberger, is not a two-time Super Bowl champion. So he doesn't get afforded the right of... Well, he can't lose his job to injury. He absolutely can.
Can I go back to something more existential here? We work in sports talk. There are 12 hours of daytime programming on this station every day. Would it not be the dumbest thing ever if from 6A to 6P, until Zeiss came in and was clamoring for Mike Tomczak to be the starter, would it be not be the dumbest thing ever if everyone was going, Mason's the starter. Yes, Mason's the starter. Now Mason's the starter. My God, turning it into a controversy, how about having an opinion that maybe Mason Rudolph, as you were saying, is not infallible, should not be nailed into the starter's seat the second he gets back and cleared to play. Forget about winning or not winning. My God. It's not that wild of an opinion to suggest a guy who looks like he knows what the hell he's doing out there might be better suited for the job right this second.
So Mason should start.
Obviously.
But why?
I think he has a little bit more experience, and he was a guy that has had more first team reps. I thought he's played well with 7 touchdowns, 2 picks. Thought he's played well enough. And I don't know that Hodges did anything last night to blow me away to think, oh, this guy's got to start. However, that doesn't mean you can't make a change in a game. I think we're at that point. I think if either one would struggle, I think.
The game plan yesterday was such that it tells me they're going back to Mason Rudolph because they ran a very conservative game plan from the start.
But that's been the Mason Rudolph game plan, too.
No, I understand, but I think it was, even though it worked, I don't even think they would go away from Rudolph in a game, Jeff. They have tried to insulate both men to such a degree that I think they intend for this to be Rudolph's job. Hodges was a break glass because you have no other choice, and because the fact that it worked isn't going to sway them.
I think Rudolph has shown enough in the time that he's been out there to be the starting quarterback, because if Hodges would have thrown for 300, if he would have thrown 3 touchdowns or made no mistakes at all, and Hodges did well, I still go with Mason Rudolph.
So really quick, I don't think that there is a gulf between the two such that taking either side here is particularly unreasonable. Right. What have you seen specifically from Rudolph that you've really liked? Because that's been my critique of him, is that he has been very nondescript.
That's not horrible. And as a it's not. As a backup quarterback, I mean, he hasn't done anything to kill them. And I thought in that Baltimore game, he actually played pretty well. I mean, games against good teams.
Jeff, let me ask you this question.
Yep.
If Hodges is the quarterback in San Francisco and he gets 5 takeaways, you don't think he wins them that game? Because to me, both starts and the circumstances around them are eerily similar. It's a road game on the West Coast. It's a game where the defense gives you a great chance of winning because they create extra possessions for you. They set up Rudolph with short fields like crazy in that San Francisco game, and he did nothing with it. Hodges, one they take all the way back. He gets no credit for it. Bush recovering it and scoring. The other time, he managed the game correctly, and they took an interception and turned it into a touchdown. I mean, to me, like, they both were thrust in very similar situations. One guy lost and one guy won.
I think
that should be breaking the tie.
I think San Francisco is a better defense. So if you put Hodges against that Niners D, maybe it is the same result.
I'll say this much, I guess, as far as my overall opinion on it. I would trust Hodges to spin one in there and make a play more than I'd trust Rudolph right at this juncture, regardless of what defense you're seeing.
And I like Hodges. I'm just saying, I saw enough from Rudolph, and I like some of the things I saw that Hodges...
Who's more poised?
They both played home games, though, as starters.
Yeah, right.
You mean the games they've won? Who's more poised?
I think Hodges is probably more poised.
Yeah.
Here's the reason.
That's what I'm looking for in a backup quarterback.
Yeah, but here's the reason Rudolph's going
to start. The situation doesn't get to him. You're right. He will start, Chris.
He's going to start because they said the phrase, we had a first-round grade on Mason. He's going to start because of that.
But he hasn't been horrible. I realize he didn't take advantage of opportunities, and he has made mistakes. But I thought he was
you're
coming
right.
into—
You're right. He has not been horrible. But when you're a 2-4 football team, don't you ride the wave of momentum and play the hot hand?
Did Hodges do that much last night?
What did he do wrong?
Threw a pick.
Was it a bad play?
Which could have been a key pick at that point.
I didn't think it was a bad play. I thought it was an atrocious play call, up three touchdowns with 10 minutes left on first and 10 after Snell just got
here's
you
a, question.
A first down.
Tony, here's a question to counterpoint
you. And then Holton did diddly squat to help
here's
him out
a,
on that play.
Here's a counterpoint. When Mason Rudolph was trailing 17-13 in San Francisco, did he not get the Steelers to 20-17 by taking them in?
You're talking about the Johnson touchdown?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Is it Mason Rudolph's fault that Piggy went on the ground in that game and they lost as a result? No. It's James Conner's fault. That was his fault.
I agree with that, but they're in a good situation coming out of the half because of the way that the defense has played, and the first thing Rudolph does to start the second half in San Francisco is make what I would describe as an inexcusable interception. He's rolling in one direction, and he throws across his body to the middle of the field. Hodges never made a mistake like that.
Well, he did.
In last night's game.
No, but in the Ravens game he did, but he got lucky.
But there was a flag. He knew that there was –
No, he did not know that that was a free play. He had no idea. That ball was out when the flag was being thrown.
Yeah, I agree with Chris. And I don't think Hodges is a bad option, but I think Rudolph is your starting quarterback right now.
I can't believe we're talking about a team and arguing – till we're blue in the face about Mason Rudolph or Devlin Hodges, and at the same time, it is somehow not implausible that they are still alive in this division.
That's the crazy thing, right?
My God, thank goodness for a terrible AFC North. It's Rodman and Malone stumbling up the court in the 98 NBA Finals, just tripping each other the entire time.
Wow.
Well, we've got Tomlin on it. Let's hear what he had to say last night about Hodges and then
Thanks,
the quarterback
Jeff.
For Miami.
We got a lot of confidence in him. We hadn't been bashful about that. He's got a lot of confidence in himself, and I think that's what makes people gravitate to him. We're not getting overexcited, man. This is a guy that played good tonight, man, with very limited experience, and we're thankful to get a win, and hopefully it'll be a good learning experience for him and us collectively as we move forward.
Mason's healthy. Is he your starter?
I ain't getting into that, guys.
Why wouldn't he answer that question?
Doesn't want to comment on Rudolph's health or lack thereof.
But inherent in the question is the if he's healthy. He's not going to deal in hypotheticals?
I think he has used that statement enough that he can fall back on it in a situation like this when he doesn't want to answer something. I mean, okay, you heard Tomlin right there. Sort of go half and half. A lot of praise there. He's a confident guy, etc. But also he let's not get ahead of ourselves. If you could shoot Mike Tomlin's thigh with some truth serum, and you say, who do you think is the better player? Do you think he says Rudolph, or do you think he says Hodges?
I think he says Rudolph because he's got more invested in Rudolph.
Even though the whole point of this exercise is truth serum theoretically tells you what his eyes are telling his brain, because I think his eyes tell his brain Hodges is better.
Really?
Against his, like, you know, what he wants to be true because he and Colbert had a hand in picking the guy in the third round and then saying something like we had a first round grade on him. Never mind the fact that we didn't pick him in the second round. But I think he sees what he sees and he says, part of it's the team responding to the player. He says, that guy that's a camp arm is the better one, and it pains me to admit this.
Well, how about Pouncey said after the game, he told ESPN, quote, Hodges looked like Ben.
I wouldn't go that far. He maybe looked like one of the more conservative rookie year Ben games because they didn't let him throw the ball down the field, but you don't think that those guys gravitate towards somebody like that? It takes a certain...
I think they do, Chris. That's why I want him to play.
I do too, but I don't think he will. I would start him. I was going to try to come in here and be the contrarian and be like, you start Rudolph because that's the guy you drafted and do that whole spiel, but I can't because I think that the other guy's got a little it factor. I think his teammates rally around him. And as much as the teammates rallying around him is something that's sort of in the wind, it's not something you can kind of put a finger on. It's also there. You can tell. Those players on that team, offensively specifically, gravitate towards Devlin Hodges, believe in him, and if he were to make a mistake, they believe in him to go out and make another
play. What do you think is a more reliable stat, passer rating or QBR?
I guess QBR because it backed up what some things I saw yesterday told me. Like, it was a better stat. There were guys who had a lower passer rating and a higher... Like, Deshaun Watson's QBR was higher than his passer rating, and he played a whale of a game yesterday.
QBR on the season, Mason Rudolph, 48. Mm-hmm. Devlin Hodges, 84.6. It's not close.
It's also
it's not even close, Chris. It's also a time and place
in the game, though. It weights, like, fourth quarter stuff more so. So the Ravens stuff that Hodges did, I would think... because of when it happened in the game, and I'm not saying that's irrelevant. Obviously, it is relevant, but that would probably weigh heavily in his favor. He's played better this season than Mason Rudolph. I don't think that's arguable, personally. I don't. But it's not so dramatic.
One guy is 1-0 as a starter. The other is 1-2. And when I don't see a big gap between the two players, I go with who's got a better record.
I mean, you're not arguing quarterback wins here, one, for small sample size, and two, because we've seen quarterbacks who are not that good on great defenses win.
I think...
Is Mitch Trubisky a good quarterback?
No, he's not.
He was 12-4 last year.
But, hold on.
He was 12-4 last year.
This is going to maybe blow everybody away. I honestly think that there's a little bit of a Tebow effect with Hodges. In this way. You say the team responds to him. I think it clearly does. That Tebow team went 8-8. Their defense played out of its mind. It was incredible. And Tebow, for whatever reason, had a knack for making kind of crazy plays. He'd suck for 3.5 quarters, and then he would lead his team to dramatic, like, game-ending drives. They'd only need, like, 17 points to win, and he would find a way to, like, put them in position to kick a last-second field goal or score a touchdown at the end of the game.
About how great it was to see him in action and how inspiring he was. And
yeah, and you know what? They were better off to go with Peyton Manning the next year, and that was 100% the right call.
So you're talking about in the moment.
Yeah, and I'm saying, like, it's going to make sense, obviously, next year to go from Hodges back to a Hall of Famer in Ben Roethlisberger. But what were the Broncos' options that year? Who were the two quarterbacks there? Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow? I mean, you find if your team, for whatever reason, gets up for games and collectively plays better with one quarterback in there, then I think that's what you do.
To me, the difference between Hodges and Tebow, that I think it's almost disrespectful, believe it or not, to Hodges in this case. Tebow was so, I know he could run. You know, and he'd fire people up. There's the clip of him saying, only one person's running this football, and it's me.
Jesus.
Yes.
Our Lord and Savior.
Number 33.
He was a religious guy, Tebow. Still is.
Still, yeah, I don't think was here. I think is. But either here nor there, he was so limited as a passer, it really condensed their playbook. So whatever they were going to run, they had to run it really well. The thing that I think is good about Hodges is the few times he cut it loose yesterday, they were like legit NFL throws, out routes, stuff like that. I think Devlin Hodges can execute any play in the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that the coaching staff would realize that, and that with that coupled with his mobility, solid arm, good mobility, and seemingly not getting rattled when there's any kind of inkling of pressure,
They'd
let him play, but they're not going to. They should. They're not going to.
One thing I've seen people say is, how can you compare the game in San Francisco to the game in L.A.? The 49ers are much better than the Chargers. Well, yeah,
they are.
But guess what? That afternoon, they weren't.
No, that was their worst game of the season.
Exactly. The Niners wanted the Steelers. They wanted to let the Steelers win that game. But Mason Rudolph and the offense wouldn't accept it. They wouldn't take it. There were 5 takeaways. They produced 20 points off those takeaways, right, in total.
Mm-hmm. If Connor doesn't fumble in that game, do you think Rudolph finds a way to make enough plays to kill the clock and win the game? Because
I'd like to think
day,
so.
At the end of the day, I do think he would have made a couple of passes that win them that football game. Move the chains.
We'll never know.
No, I know. And it certainly supports your argument that game went belly up on them in that setting. It does. The main reason they're not going to go, it's twofold. I don't think there's any way they go with Devlin Hodges is because they ran a very hyper-conservative game plan again and because they don't perceive there to be a large enough gap in between the two players having executed that game plan to warrant benching the guy functionally.
Well, I'll tell you what.
They said they had a first-round grade.
If Hodges goes to the bench here, and I'm with you, I think there's a 0.0% chance Hodges plays against Miami unless Rudolph has a setback. The second Rudolph starts to tail off, and I think he will, whether it's against the Colts or against the Rams in the subsequent weeks, I'll want Hodges to go in the game.
So will I.
To spark them, and
oh,
he probably
no
will. Because he's got a Tebow factor to him.
How much was this segment's entire purpose for you to make sure you could do a Tebow comparison? Most of it?
Yeah, it dawned on me in the middle of it, actually. We're presented by the Chafin Lujan Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. It was. It's like something came over me, spiritual, during that segment. Which Steelers DB had the best night? One guy got the game ball. The other one got cursed out by Phillip Rivers. Well, kind of. We're the PM team on 93.7 The Fan.
He's an awesome player. We probably carried more this time than we did last time. Felt like we ran out of stuff last time, ran out of people last time. He's going to throw flames at you all night. I got a lot of respect for that guy. We didn't run out. We didn't run out of people. We didn't run out of stuff. So we were able to finish it.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Now this time, Phillip Rivers' second half comeback bid came up short, in part because of nonsensical coaching by Anthony Lynn. Just some of the worst I've seen, where he's electing to onside kick with three timeouts in the bag. I mean, that was brutal, Chris.
Yeah, I would have kicked
that. That was so bad.
I would have kicked that ball deep 100 times out of 100 because you know that you're getting three Benny Snell runs there, although the Steelers tried to get cute on third down and it almost worked. And you get the ball back at probably like your 35 or something. Unless you kick it deep and Ryan Switzer hits a return, which, let's be honest, is pretty damn unlikely, you're going to get the ball back with considerably better field position. I didn't love the Steelers, by the way, going and punting on fourth and one where they were. I could have probably made a pretty easy case for going for it and trying to win the game then and there. But
how about take the penalty to back yourself
up?
Well,
that's what I thought they were going to do.
Me
didn't
too.
It look like it and
yeah.
Give him more room.
I never trust the Steelers special teams.
But, I mean, the outcome they got
perfect.
Sealed the game. It's
yep.
It's flawless execution, which, okay, you tip your cap there. But you're right. Lynn just butchered. Just butchered that situation.
I thought Tomlin outcoached him. A very simple coaching stratagem by Mike Tomlin. One of the biggest reasons why their defense was so good. I don't think it was X's and O's that guys like T.J. Watt and, believe it or not, Bud Dupree, of all people, have to give him a little bit of credit, were able to put pressure on Phillip Rivers, which was really the key to the game. That, to me, is just a man beating a man. He also decided, and this was really probably a eureka moment for that coaching staff, they put a defensive back on Keenan Allen.
Weird how that happens.
And I think Allen finished with two catches for 16 yards. Final line
super,
for the Chargers' number one wide receiver.
Super weird how that happens. That you put a guy whose job it is to cover wide receivers on their best wide receiver.
Who had the best game from these three defensive backs? Cam Sutton, Artie Burns, Mike Hilton.
I don't think it's close. I think it's Cam Sutton. Cam Sutton in the end zone made a really confident play on the football to bat it away, I think, from Williams, who he was on, it seemed, most of the game. Later on, when the Chargers were trying to mount a comeback, and one of the things that has to be considered important is any kind of pass breakup just forces them to keep wasting more time on plays. He did one right out of the school of the Patriots playbook. The ball looked like it was there. The receiver looked like he had it, and there was Sutton's hand not giving up on the play, contesting the catch all the way through the process, you would say. And then the interception, you know what? Since Mike Hilton dropped the Willie Mays-esque attempt at one, Cam Sutton just sealing the game with one, I thought. goes in his positive ledger too.
And the onside kick recovery.
Yeah, well, which was, that was the most impressive play, I think, athletically he made all game.
How high he went up in the air, and then he flipped and took a hit and didn't give up the football.
Correct. I mean, that was as good of an attempt at an onside kick as you'll see, because it puts a lot of onus on the man who's going to end up catching the ball. But I thought he clearly had the best game.
Well, Tomlin,
he also didn't look overwhelmed by what he was being asked to do.
Tomlin gave Burns the game ball, even though he still got burnt, but not to the extent that I thought Artie Burns would in this game.
That's a total, I'm going to need this guy potentially, because he knows Joe Hayden's out, so he's probably going to have to put him back out there.
This is what I would do. In 3 weeks when the Colts come to town, if for some reason Steven Nelson is still out, which would shock me because he practiced at the end of this week, my two outside starting cornerbacks are Joe Hayden and Cam Sutton, are they not? I mean, the Dolphins game, you could start you and me at outside corner, and if Josh Rosen is starting and playing, I think we'll get away with that.
Okay.
So the lineup decision for the Miami game.
I don't have a great outside technique, by the way, so I need help.
The lineup decision for the Miami game doesn't matter.
So why Sutton over Nelson?
No, I'm saying Sutton over.
You said Hayden.
I'm saying
and Sutton.
If Nelson Hayden, if Nelson is not is still for whatever reason not
Hayden
healthy.
And Sutton.
Hayden and Sutton.
Okay, that's right. You said if Nelson was healthy, my bad. Yeah, I think Sutton obviously should be one of your two outside guys.
How much did you love Hilton going after Phillip Rivers after the game?
I enjoyed it just because I can't imagine how annoyed Hilton was and Rivers brought, dadgummit, get off me, you know, like just doing his usual spiel. It looked, did Phillip Rivers though, grabbing like a handful of Hilton's jersey, not look like an angry parent who like caught their kid shoplifting a candy bar or something and dragged them up to the front? You will apologize to this person.
Here's Rivers
at the
after the game about it.
I was disappointed the game was over. I wasn't frustrated. I just, guy comes and waves at our sideline. You protect your team. So it was really no big deal. I haven't seen him afterwards. We'd probably shake his hand and tell him, sorry, I got a little fired up. But it wasn't a big deal. There was no screaming and yelling. It was just, shoot, defend your guys.
So Hilton's what, about generously listed at 5'9", maybe 5'8", probably? I mean, he's a diminutive guy in the football sense. Phillip Rivers is like every bit of 6'5 or 6'6. Most people that see him say he looks even bigger in person.
Did you know that NFL Films had Rivers mic'd up for that?
What did they catch?
Well, Craig Riley tweeted it out. Quote, gee golly, man. This is a real butt whooping you jerks put on us. My 74 kids don't need to see you mocking me on national TV like this. Dang.
That's the second best Phillip Rivers line I saw, by the way.
What was the
last
first?
Night. Somebody wrote, Kabali wrote, right now, the Steelers' run defense looks impregnable, and somebody wrote back, when Phillip Rivers is involved, nothing is impregnable.
I would have loved
which is
Rivers being mic'd for that game would have been amazing on a number of fronts. His standoff with Hilton, and then what does he say to Duck after the game? No. Wouldn't you love to be privy to that conversation?
It. Shoot, golly, dang it, Doug. That was a heck of a football game put on us right now, boy.
Do you think at some point in the offseason, Phillip Rivers and Duck Hodges will get together to go fishing?
Well, they're both Alabama guys, so probably. And I think the impregnable line was, Craig, you know this man, Josh Banks out there, who's also an NC State, a rally guy. So that's Phillip. That's like it's coming from inside the house for
Phillip
Rivers.
So he's allowed to make fun of Rivers.
Yeah, I think so. He lives down in Raleigh, yeah. That's where Phillip Rivers went to school. Yes, they got to get together. Just what's that like?
I think Hodges is going hunting on his off week. Didn't they say he's going up to, like, Saskatchewan on the broadcast last night?
Him and his dad.
Yeah, Duck Hodges unavailable for the Miami game after his bush plane gets stranded.
How many tins of Skol will they go through? Other fishing trip.
It's like the W.C. Fields line. It was terrible. For weeks, we had to survive only on food and water instead of whiskey. That's them for... No, they're not using Skol, right? What's the worst stuff there is? Grizzly? Is that like the lowest...
It's all bad for you, Chris.
Well, yes, but like...
Yeah.
If Natural Light is the lower rung of beer, what is the Skol... What is the dip equivalent there? Grizz?
As someone that used to... dip while playing baseball, I would say that was always, to me, like the
bottom of the barrel. Ooh, somebody's bringing out the grizz.
All right, coming up next, Benny Snell football?
Benjamin!
Stepped up in a big way. So what do the Steelers do at running back? James Conner joins us at 5 for more on that. It's the PM team.
I think that's kind of the story tonight, man. Some guys stepped up and stepped up in a big way. We live by the creed. The standard is the standard, but those are just words. The play of the guys make that reality, and we got a lot of quality efforts tonight from a lot of people.
93.7 The Fan time is 3:48. Time to visit House of 1000 Beers, locations in Wexford and New Kensington, the home of the best Reuben sandwiches in town. Jerry Dulac has a report on Mason Rudolph and whether or not he'll be ready to play once the Steelers come off the bye and what that means for Duck Hodges, who's 1-0 as a Steelers starting quarterback. Also, Sunday was full of Mike Tomlin to the Redskins reports, and we will sort through those and give you some opinions on what was being reported by some of the NFL's heavy hitters yesterday. But let's go with one of those unsung heroes, Chris, although maybe not in his own mind. Benny Snell football. 17 for 75 yards. He was the Steelers' leading rusher last night. Connor took a big hit from Thomas Davis early in the game on his shoulder. We'll ask him about that when he comes on with us at 5. And then he took a hit later in the game. It was deemed a quadricep injury, so he really didn't play at all in the fourth quarter. And Snell came in, and you basically had the fourth preseason game offense with Hodges at quarterback and Snell at running back. And they really didn't skip a beat. Snell, 4.4 yards per carry. So how do you divvy up the running back snaps moving forward?
I mean, I would like – I thought Connor played really well for the three quarters he played. I know his yards per carry – did not reflect that, but he was their biggest threat in the pass game. He was making guys miss. But having acknowledged that fact, Snell did enough and showed me enough with the eye test. I'd like to see him get some carries here and there. I think he
what's
does,
here and there?
Like 5 to 7 a game, like a couple
in
series.
In what spots? Oh, so he's going to
change a pace, give Connor a rest here and there. I mean, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Connor hasn't proven himself to be kind of a Le'Veon Bell-level workhorse. I don't think that's speaking out of class. Snell has no speed to speak of, but what he does do well is, I think, when there is an opening at the offensive line, he gets to that opening decisively and gets through it. And there's a certain assuredness of his running style that I think makes up for the fact that he lacks top-end speed.
There was an off
Tackle play where if he was a faster guy, he might have gone the distance in this game. He ended up going for like 7 yards on it, but it was because he just had no speed to get around the edge. But yeah, he's very assured and confident when he's running the football. And I thought he looked good yesterday, man. I was impressed. I don't know how you couldn't be. We kind of made the guy a bit of a punching bag for the whole Benny Snell football thing, and he didn't skip a beat.
No, he was terrible in the preseason, and that was part of the reason why. When he was talking in the third person, I thought it was so laughable that a fourth-round pick that hadn't accomplished a damn thing in the NFL.
People thought he might actually get cut.
Yeah.
That was how bad it was.
Well, Bouchette brought that up. It wasn't just fan conjecture. I think Connor, because of the amount of hits he takes because of his style, I think you have to go running back by committee. I don't think it's in James Connor's best interest for Mike Tomlin. Well, I think Connor at his best is a guy that gets better as the game goes on. But I think if you ride him that way, I don't know if you'll have James Connor in December.
Well, that's the catch-22 there. He's supposed, as a power back, he should be better when the defense gets tired, but he's a power back that
is susceptible to injury.
I don't like saying injury prone because that makes it sound like it's a guy's fault. He has been injured enough to make you wonder.
And if you've got somebody else that has, I think, a similar skill set and is fresh legs.
Well, that's the key here, is that they are similar runners. Connor has more explosiveness, but Snell, is it fair to say Snell might have more actual power? Connor can run and be sudden and knock a guy over. I think Snell can, like, run through tackles, though. Not in that spectacular truck stick, offensive truck stick way. I just think he can run through people and not be brought down at first contact. That was what was so great about Connor yesterday. He had I think it was a Pro Football Focus stat before last night's game. He had been brought down at first contact like 90% of the time, And last night he was shedding tackles left and right to the point where they were counting them up and he was having a spectacular night in that department.
Yeah, I'm not ready to say that Snell.
How many carries a game for Benny Snell going forward? You're the offensive coordinator. You're the running backs coach. How many carries a game does he warrant?
Okay, so last night they ran the football total 36 times. So let's just use that as the number here.
Let's use 35 because that's a nice round number.
Okay. I would go 20 and 15. 20 for Connor and 15 for Snell.
I actually don't have a problem with that. I know I said 5 to 7, 6 to 8, but I have no problem getting Snell into double digits.
That's a lot for both guys.
Well, especially if you're going to run this extremely run-heavy offense and live or die with the idea that your defense is going to be healthy enough and dynamic enough to keep you in most games and be a difference maker.
You know what they're doing, Chris? Their offense last night was, I think, the perfect recipe typically for when teams have a backup quarterback. The strength of your offense right now, based on injuries, is your offensive line. So your wide receivers are decimated by injury. You're down to a backup quarterback. You have a great defense that is going to set you up with short fields and give you some extra possessions. If you can run the ball at all, do it. And shorten games and physically impose your will on teams. I don't think Snell has proven yet at this level where he's running people over, but I think he's a byproduct of what is looking more and more like the offensive line we thought the Steelers were going to be at the start of the year. They can get you a hole or two.
Filer was
mauling people
yesterday.
Snell finds those holes.
Well, he hits, like I said, he hits a hole decisively, which makes up for the lack of actual top-end speed. And I don't think he's running people over, but again, there's more than one way to be a power back, and one of those ways is to sort of run through those fringy arm tackles that you can get. I will say this, though. They might be running an offense that's the perfect blueprint for a backup quarterback, but at some point, if and when that's Mason Rudolph again, who they think is their quarterback of the future, they have to integrate more shots downfield. They might be able to win some games here. They should beat the Dolphins pretty handily with doing it this way. If it's regardless of which guy's back there, they have to keep defenses honest. Better teams will stack the box against them.
Yeah, and the Chargers didn't, which I thought was another sign of respect for Duck Hodges. They didn't stack the box last night.
I thought that that was a game very quickly on both sides of the ball. The Steelers' defense took advantage of a very banged-up offensive line for L.A., and I thought their offense took advantage of a banged-up defense. I know we say they still had Bosa, but Bosa and Ingram, it's like force. You love this phrase, force multipliers for each other. And Derwin James is the best player on that defense, you could argue. So they took advantage on both sides of the ball of a depleted opponent, which I...
They also took advantage of Renegade getting played in the Chargers' home stadium.
You do realize that that was a troll by the Chargers people actually to the Steelers, right? They played it and then Rickrolled them with Rick Astley like 10 seconds in.
Who's Rick Astley?
Never gonna give you up. You know that song. You want me to sing the whole thing, I know. But I saw that look.
I did that because our entire audience does not know.
What Rickrolling is?
No, they don't. They're not all aware of who the musical artist is, so I wanted you to...
Craig, most people know it's Rick Astley.
He has no clue right
I
now.
100% know what that is.
Yeah, and you know who the artist was.
Yeah.
And you don't know
if
anything.
If I get that musical reference, I think...
Fanweather. If Craig Common Man Riley gets it...
Brought to you by Sun Chevy, Route 19 of the South Hills. Tomorrow, Cook and Joe will be there as they fight against breast cancer with the Sun Chevy guys. 64 degrees right now, a low of 39. Coming up next... The latest on the Mike Tomlin Redskins front, like all of the heavy hitters chimed in on this yesterday. Schefter, Lockenfora, Glazer on this report. We know the plane was here last week. Tomlin didn't shoot down the rumors at his press conference. What are the insiders saying? And what should be our reaction in Pittsburgh to these reports next? It's the PM team on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.